The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, welcome back. We missed you. How are you?
Boker Tov, good to be back. It's been a busy week with lots and lots going on. And of course, earlier in the week, the release of hostage Edan Alexander, which we are really, really delighted to have him back and to see that he was able to come back on his own steam, even though his health situation is not necessarily the best after that period of time in captivity. But one of the really, really moving events surrounding his release was the fact that the U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, came to Israel to meet him. And they met in a hospital where Dan is being kept right now after his release. And what was even more moving about that meeting was that Steve Witkoff presented to Edan Alexander a Magen David, a Star of David, on a chain that was a personal belonging of Steve Witkoff. And Steve gave it to Edan and then explained to him that this was the Magen David that was owned by his own son, Andrew Witkoff, who unfortunately passed away under very tragic circumstances about 15 years ago. And here is the U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, handing over a personal belonging to released hostage Edan Alexander and asking him to keep that and to wear that, which I think was just indication of how personally invested Steve Witkoff is in the process of releasing hostages. And of course, we do know that there are negotiations ongoing in Doha right now for another potential hostage release, even though the signs are not particularly optimistic that this is going to go anywhere. But obviously, we still remain hopeful that this will somehow result in something. Just another little snippet while we're already talking about general things. Of course, tonight and tomorrow is Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is the 33rd day of the Omer. That's where the name of the holiday comes from. This is a day that marks the anniversary of one of Judaism's great mystic rabbis, and is usually celebrated quite eagerly and enthusiastically with various events that usually go on, including the lighting of bonfires and lots of outdoor activity. But of course, because it's tonight and tomorrow, which runs into Shabbat tomorrow evening, there are many people who have delayed celebrating Lag BaOmer until Sunday, so that we can get over Shabbat and not run the risk in some places of potentially transgressing Shabbat as those celebrations continue. So I hope that people will have the chance to celebrate Lag BaOmer. Be careful, don't go wild lighting fires. Of course, in Israel, lighting of fires is a very sensitive subject these days, and there's been a significant pullback to prevent people from risking the same problem that we experienced over Yom HaTzmaut with those fires. So we hope that we'll be able to celebrate Lag BaOmer in some way without going too crazy and risking things as part of the celebrations.
Are people allowed to light fires, given what happened a few weeks ago?
Very, very limited. Very, very limited indeed. In fact, the authorities have come out trying to encourage people not to light fires and to try and do make alternative plans rather than lighting fires. But of course, there is a certain tradition that surrounds the lighting of a bonfire and the gathering around the bonfire. It's not only about the fire itself, but I think a lot of it is really about the social activity that takes place around the bonfire and the traditions surrounding that. So I suppose that people are able to continue those social traditions without the necessity to have this fire, which could be hugely risky. I remember 20, 30 years ago, school kids used to light bonfires almost on every corner of every city. That used to be a done thing. From days and days before, kids used to stand and guard certain open areas of ground, go around the city and collect wood. Whatever loose piece of wood they could find would be collected up and would be burned on the bonfire. Immensely dangerous, and there were quite a number of injuries that resulted from those activities. But these days, it's much, much, much more controlled. as it should be.
Let's talk about the terrible incident last night, a terror attack, seriously injured, and unfortunately she's now passed away, a woman and a man last night. What do we know?
So think about a couple who have three young children, and the lady in the couple is pregnant, and they get into their car to make their way to the labor ward because she is in labor with her fourth child, 30 years old, driving towards the labor ward when they, in the middle of the night, from the darkness, are attacked by a terrorist who randomly shoots at their car. She was injured in the neck with gunshot to the neck. Her husband was driving the car, was also injured in this incident. We now know that Tsela Gez and her husband, Hananel, were heading towards the hospital. They were both taken to hospital after this this shooting attack in the middle of the night. Unfortunately, Tsela did not survive the attack. They were unable to save her, but in an emergency cesarean section, when they reached the hospital, her baby was saved, and her baby is now in quite serious condition in the children's hospital, the Balanson Children's Hospital, getting medical treatment. Her husband, Hananel, is also being treated in the hospital, and we now have four young children who have been orphaned because their mother was shot by a terrorist in the middle of the night when she was on her way to deliver her fourth child. That is the scenario that we were faced with last night and this morning as we realize exactly what happened in that incident. Now, I can't imagine that anybody could turn around and say, well, it's justified. That attack is absolutely justified because somebody did something to somebody else. Somebody was living in a place that they're not supposed to live in. Somebody had a political beef against somebody else. I just can't imagine that any of those accusations, claims, let's use the bigger words that people like to use, genocide and occupation and apartheid and discrimination, all of these terms that get thrown around. I can't imagine that any of those things could justify the orphaning of four young children, one a baby right now in the first day of its life, fighting for its life, will have to grow up from day one without a mother. It's just inconceivable to me. It's just inconceivable to me that anybody could stand up with true conviction and say, I think that there is a certain justification to this particular incident. And we can talk about the politics of the situation. The incident took place between Ariel and Rosh Ha'ayin at the Brooklyn Junction. And we know that that area is contested and is claimed by various parties who think that the people who live there shouldn't be living there. The state of Israel shouldn't have control over this land. Jews shouldn't be allowed to. You know, there are lots of contentions and claims and justifications backwards and forwards. But again, I just can't imagine that anybody could truly stand up and justify what we saw happen last night. And, you know, we've learned so many lessons over the last year and a half about when people make a claim to a piece of land, this should be our land, then we assume, as a general rule, that they have positive intentions, they have good reason, they have historical background to claim that they want this land in order to do something positive with it. But as we've seen in Gaza, and indeed to a much less extent, but still there within the Palestinian Authority area, the setting up of the so-called state, the claim to the land, is really being claimed in order to create a springboard to carry out further attacks, to carry out further terror attacks in many cases, to try to displace people, not in order to contest the land, in order so that we can have our peace and you can have your peace and let's carry on. That's not the intention. And those people who haven't heard former US President Bill Clinton's piece that he he recorded relatively recently about the events that took place in 2000 at Camp David, when he hosted then Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak and then Palestinian Authority President Yasser Arafat. They were hosted at Camp David, and President Clinton quite clearly says that Arafat was offered so many things. He was offered the parts of the city of Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian state, including two of the four quadrants of the old city of Jerusalem to be part of the Palestinian state. And he was offered 98% of the land that was being claimed with land swaps in order to compensate. He was offered all of these things pretty much on a golden platter. And Arafat said no, said no to that. And the moment Arafat said no to that, then we had to already then understand what exactly is driving the whole intention of claiming land and using these terror attacks as a justification because the land claims are not being satisfied. Now, I know that there are Jews who are on the wrong side of this particular argument as well. People behave badly and try to do things in a way that's not acceptable. And I know that the Israeli government has come out very, very hard on many of those people in order to pull them into line. But as I keep saying, I can't imagine that any of that background justifies what we are seeing today in that Gez family and the fact that we're having to bury a young mother who's just delivered a baby and will never be able to take care of that child. I can't imagine that anything could justify that.
No, absolutely, absolutely not. Let's talk about the IDF have continued their focus in the area of the European hospital where they tried to eliminate Mohamed Sinwar. What do we know? Has there been confirmation about the success of that mission yet?
No confirmation as yet. Now, the mission that was carried out against the European hospital area and was clearly aimed at Mohamed Sinwar, the brother of the then leader, Yahya Sinwar, and who, it seems to us at least, has picked up some responsibility for marshalling Hamas since the death of those leaders and since the elimination of many of the senior ranks of Hamas. He, we know, has been hiding underground. We know that the intelligence services have had their eyes on him already for some time. That attack that took place the day before yesterday at the area of the European hospital was very reminded us a great deal of the attack that took place in Lebanon, in the Dakhir neighborhood in Lebanon, and which ultimately eliminated the then leader of Hezbollah, Nasrallah. The modus operandi was very, very similar. In other words, identifying potential exit points of the bunkers, attacking those exit points, firing bunker buster bombs at the particular location. Then once that particular concerted attack had been taken and had been carried out, then making sure that no rescue services could come anywhere near to the site. And in fact, the IDF was firing on people who were trying to get near to the site to potentially try to rescue those who might have survived that attack. In fact, there was even a video that I saw of a bulldozer being attacked by IDF forces in order to prevent that bulldozer from somehow getting near to the location. And I think from what we can, what we have heard about Nasrallah's death, that he was not killed by the initial attack, that he actually was killed because he was unable to get out of his bunker and ultimately probably suffocated. I'm not sure exactly how he was killed, but ultimately because the rescue services were prevented from getting nearby, he died as a result of that. And the same modus operandi has been used here in the European hospital area. So we don't yet know whether Mohamed Sinwar was killed as part of that attack 2 days ago, whether he has somehow died subsequent to that because he's not been able to escape from his tunnel. But either way, we do know that he was somebody who was doing us a great deal of harm, and the security services had every justification to go after him. So I guess that time will tell as to whether, in fact, he had been eliminated, has been eliminated or not. We believe that he has been, but we don't have any firm confirmation about that yet.